Hi, this is Kenneth Nguyen. A few years ago, before I launched the Vietnamese podcast, my father and all of his siblings passed away. Their passing marked the loss of their stories and the connection to my grandparents and great-grandparents. This is partly what inspired me to start the work of the podcast. Many of you still have the opportunity to record and preserve the legacies of your own families. I've just begun to sit with a few families now for interview sessions to record the rich histories of their parents and the lives of the generations that preceded them. Don't let your family's stories go untold. Take a moment to reach out to me, and together we will bring out your family's story on a recorded journey. I've included the link in the episode description. Visit VietnamStoryBank.com today for more information.
A few weeks ago, my friend over at Little Saigon Official, the founder Chris Tran, approached me about doing a tribute night at a nightclub that he works at in Orange County called The Circle. And the tribute would be for some music and the early club scene that started out in the mid-90s. He knows I was involved in that scene, and his idea was to resurrect those nostalgic days in real club form today, modern day, the same way new wave music has been rebooted in the Vietnamese community in clubs here in Southern California. And it's an interesting place because there are, you know, a lot of people who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. That go to these rebooted Vietnamese clubs now, and they play new wave music from Modern Talking and CC Catch and Bad Boys Blue. So Chris was having these ideas of having this tribute night, and you know, it's starting on October 5th at the Circle in Huntington Beach, and he asked me to be a part of it, and I politely declined because you know, podcasting is sort of where I spend most of my time these days. And as some of you might have known, I started promoting clubs during the mid-90s, and I started a club promoting crew called Trilogy with my brother and my promoting partner, Sun Vu, and his brother, Scott Vu. And in this episode, I sit down with Sun and Chris, and we talk about the club promoting days in the heart of Little Saigon in the mid-90s. I somehow managed to get my business partner, how many years ago, 30? 30 years ago?
A little what? 15?
Yeah, but so that's 32 years ago we met, but we started doing business maybe 30 years ago in 95.
Yeah.
His name is Sun Vu, was my partner at Trilogy for many years. Today, Chris Tran from Little Saigon Official, and we're here to talk about those days that I don't get to talk about too much on my podcast, but you and I, we have these conversations, Chris. Yeah. Obviously, Sun, you know, there's so much that you and I talk about all the time. Before we start the podcast, I want to talk about Chris's event October 5th, Saturday at the Circle. Hey, you want to talk a little bit about that before we get into our...
I thought that was such a lost opportunity where, like, the 90s was such an important place in our time. Okay, then when I didn't even know you were Trilogy, okay? I talked to this guy for almost a year.
Over a year.
I only recently found out. And then, you know, then I brought it up, and then I found out this guy was actually the man. You know, he was like, it just blew my butt. I didn't reach out to find him. We found each other. And that's the thing about this Little Saigon world. You know what I mean? How many people have done great things, but you don't talk about it? You know, the whole time I met you, you never talked about it.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about the 90s. It's the weirdest thing, right?
But dude, like his wife, can I quote her?
Yeah.
Because his wife is like, you know, he told his wife this morning, I'm going to go record. And then, what did she say? Say it.
You try to get your glory back.
Yeah.
Basically what
he said. And then that's a funny thing, because I think in the Vietnamese culture, the older Vietnamese culture, sometimes it's like, dude, come on. The time's over. Why are you guys talking about it? But I think there's really important things when we're talking about history.
But see, I don't think you can retire culture, because it's ever ongoing, right?
True.
Because we find different tribes at different times.
Yeah, I think it's true.
Yeah, I mean, you find your tribe when you're in school, you try to after school, and then even after school, you start to shift. You know, we don't have the same friends that we did. A handful of them we still do.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy the same subject?
I not.
Mm. We just have history.
Right.
But that history built us in what we do in our future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Sun's rescued my butt so many times in the last 30 years. I mean, I really mean that. But I want to talk about how we kind of met and then how we got started. But Sun's memory is a lot more
stronger than my memory. I remember that we each have a brother that was part of our trilogy crew, and my brother was in the Marine Corps, and his brother was also in the Marine Corps, and we were all getting back together that year, right?
What happened was Tom, your brother, was coming back from Japan after his
a
tour.
Year. Yeah.
No and doubt. Then my brother is Scott. He's coming back from Pendleton.
Yeah.
So he's been there for like 6 months. So we thought we have a little get together.
And we knew a lot of people at the time. We knew, yeah, like everybody, and obviously we knew hundreds of people. We're like, we're going to do a house party at his parents' house in Anaheim Hills.
But then it just got too crowded.
The list got too big.
But you know how most party promoters and people I know now that have events, it started almost the same thing.
As a house party.
Yeah, they provided a space with like-minded people to come hang out, do the introduce to new music, and now they have a vibe. Okay, that word vibe wasn't a thing back then. You were part of a vibe, you didn't know it.
We didn't know anything.
You know, because when was the first time you heard the word, you know, just a vibe?
Well, dude, because we were on the cusp of the new wave, right? I think that was ending.
It was ending.
It was ending. It was kind of like on its way down.
It was already out.
It's already out.
Yeah, because like I tell people, say a new wave came, like went almost entirely out
in the '90s.
Mid-'90s, it was done.
By mid-'90s, it was done.
Yeah, but then it transitioned into now. Because look, new wave is actually synthesized music. Because remember, back in the day, it was bands. Okay, well, they were talking shit about synthesized music. Like, it's not real music. It's not a band. You're singing over a track.
But even Modern Talking had a band. Bad Boys Blue had a band.
Then that's why
all these new wave, CC Catch, they all had bands.
But then you look at a lot of Euro Disco, they began to move out.
Yeah.
A lot of these Euro Disco guys went into Euro Dance.
Yeah.
And that's why now you have that new sound, but it borrowed that. It moved it on.
Yeah.
Because look, if history's early trance is 80s. Okay. Now, they had no popularity, but it existed. House music in Chicago.
It's 80s. Starting. In the 80s,
yes.
Starting to get there. And there were not raves yet, but we'll get into that. Don't let me forget about the EDC guys that were designing in our studio.
Yeah, but the tribe just got big.
Yeah. So our two brothers were coming back, one from Pendleton, one from Okinawa, and we knew that there was a date that they were going to be back. And we're like, oh, it's time to do a big party, because all of us went to high school together. And then we're like, all right, let's put something together, because we knew that we just had a lot of people in the guest list, and I think we had about 300 between the four of us. 300 names, that just names and not plus ones, just names. And we're like, okay. And was it Dynasty at the time? Who was out already?
Odyssey was out, but Odyssey was playing New Wave.
Dynasty was out.
It was Dynasty,
right?
Yeah, there was only Dynasty that started most of it.
And they did electronic?
They also did dance, trans, Euro, and all that stuff.
But the thing is, we never knew what the word genre was.
Because no, we didn't know.
We just knew, like, remember back then it was called Asian Night.
But there was nothing really. There was only Ritz, Majestic, Can.
Door Diamond.
There was nothing that was catering to...
To the younger crowd.
We were 18, 19 at the time.
Yeah. But that's why when, like, Metropolis opened... You know, it started opening in 92. I started going about 94, 95. Okay. And then there was another outfit during the mid 90s called Rubber.
Huh. But that was like late 90s, though. Rubber was like late 90s.
Well, yeah,
I remember partying early 2000s.
The Vietnamese came into that party scene in the late 90s, but they existed before then.
Yeah.
Okay. They started to invade that.
Yeah.
Because why? They started to like the music, but it was a purely industry party.
But you know what's crazy? During that time, there was no real place for young people to, like, really congregate under 21.
No, true. No, 18 plus,
there were none.
Right?
There was none.
So then Dynasty had their thing. I think they were running two or three parties, and then me and this guy were just like, wait a minute, they're doing that. We should probably get together and form something and put it together real quick and do it.
See?
So then what happens?
Now that's why you guys had party crews.
Yeah. So we started with Choji in May of 95, and then when the brothers were coming back, and it started at the Holiday Inn in
the Park.
Holiday Inn up to 91,
yeah,
right?
At Holiday Inn, we were expecting about 300-400 people to show up.
300-400. I remember exactly what happened with those numbers.
And the manager asked us how many people you have coming. I mean, 300, 400.
Maybe 500. Maybe 500.
600 people show up. 600 at that door, and then there's some in the car that were turned away.
No. It was like 1,000 people that showed up.
Yeah. They locked the parking lot.
They locked up the parking lot. They didn't let anybody in.
Unexpected.
Yeah.
So that was the first ever part.
Did that trigger you? Like, dude, we might have something here.
We did the party the following week, which was in a couple of weeks later after that.
Yeah.
Right after that, because, you know, we saw that this is a potential.
I mean, I don't remember exactly. We charged $20 to go at that time?
No, it was $10.
$10.
$9.95. Remember $9.95?
But $10 was a lot back then.
It's a lot.
Back in 90, it was a lot back then.
Look right now, the parties are still $10 to $30.
Yeah, but think about it. For an 18-year-old, you know, there's a lot of money.
$10.
Yeah,
it's $10. There's like $5,000 that we brought in.
Oh, shit. Why? You guys are excellent promoters, man.
Well, all right, well, let's talk about that. Because you know what we did? We were like, okay, there's 300 people that we knew, right? So we're like, okay, wait. In order to really make sure that a lot of people go, we print up for flyers. We print like 1,000, right? And what did we do? We went out to cars in this parking lot here at Football Town.
Especially this parking lot.
This parking lot.
Yeah.
It was every weekend at this parking lot.
We would promote here.
Because you know what? You knew everybody and their fucking mom.
We're coming here.
Young, old.
And it was packed. It was so packed here.
And then that's why the guys that had, they probably got triggered by the party to make CDs. Because why? Why go to the club? Let's put it in the car.
Yep.
Okay? And then after the car, let's put it in the club again. You know, and then now people start going in their own homes. Remember those the home parties?
Yeah.
Because why? If you didn't throw an event, where else can they go?
Yeah.
People were so hungry to have a place to go.
It was crazy. People were so hungry.
It was.
To belong.
To belong to a tribe, belong to a vibe, belong to anything that, like, you know, this entertainment. Because like we said, New Wave is on the way out. What took this place? This took its place.
Yeah.
Okay, and now move forward, you got EDC. You got fucking, you know, Day Trip. You got all these house, all these genres. I'm not saying it's starting from this, but look, electronic music had to start from somewhere. Okay, for the Vietnamese community. Okay. And I would have to say 95 put it on its path. Okay, and now the kids from there, you know, like our age group's kids are now going to festivals.
But let me ask you this, though. Do we know if there was other club promoting crews during that time in other Asian communities?
There probably was, but
there were the Korean community up in LA.
Filipinos.
Always those clubs. And when you promote, you run into those guys because you're passing out flyers.
But it felt like everybody who went to our shit was Vietnamese, for sure.
Yeah,
99% of it was Vietnamese, you know, because that's who we cater to. And the Korean cater to their own people, the Filipino. Cater to the Filipinos.
But it's first to adopt, I went to every type. I went to the Filipino parties, mainly hip-hop, okay? I went to Korean party, but it's more booking, because they party differently.
Yeah, totally.
Because, you know, they had table bookings. They didn't really, every Asian community was segregated, and they had their own
It's body. Still segregated today.
No, but
it's segregated today, except if you go to Vegas and you go to the big clubs or you go to EDC, I mean, it's in the local areas, it's still Vietnamese partying with Vietnamese.
Yeah, but you know,
when you get your occasional.
Everybody has their own sound. Like, you know, New Wave was really predominantly Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what you guys did was still predominantly Vietnamese. I went to a couple of Korean places. They didn't play a lot of electronic, they still hip hop.
Yeah.
And how do we find the DJ?
That's a good question. I want to know. But see, let me go to this point though. DJs provided the party that you were looking for, but nobody went to the clubs back then.
Yeah, nobody knew
the DJ.
Nobody went for the DJ.
It was not DJ driven.
Nobody. Nobody went for the DJs.
But they knew the promoter. They knew, okay, Jelly G's doing something.
It was the party teams back in the day.
Party crew.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, that term party crew was, oh man, they're throwing this. Oh, you're going
to. Even in Hollywood, it was the same.
Same.
It was all promoting teams that were like, oh, that's the promoting team, you know, Gator's throwing that or Bravo's doing this. You know, it's all promoting teams.
Bro, I used to walk out of the club and there'd be like, 10 of your people passing out flyers. Right.
That's all it was.
And, you know, they had the little stamp on
before
it.
Before social media.
Yeah. You right? Before social media.
Social media.
That's how they spread the word.
Yeah.
You got team going to this club, to that event. Everybody went somewhere to pass out flyers that you knew that there was something.
How did you find the DJ? How did we find it?
I used DJ Indio, which is Bernie. That's I think that was originally was Dynasty.
That was Dynasty.
So we asked him if he can DJ for us. We did find our own DJ. One of my friends from high school knew a guy who knew a guy. You know, and it's always like a guy who knew a guy. And he wanted to DJ. The guy was only 14, 15 years old. His name is Chris also. He goes by the name DJ Epic.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but
DJ Epic.
DJ Epic, he was the first to DJ at our party because he has a good sound. He listens to the crowd. He can read the crowd a lot. But the thing with him is he's a little younger, so no one trusted him to be
DJing
at any party. So we always had Indio, and then Epic, and then sometimes Slim and Cam.
But how did Slim and Cam? Because once Slim came on, once DJ Slim, I felt literally like we were in a fighter plane after that. Like we're in the cockpit of a fighter plane. Once Slim came on, it was like, dude, we didn't have to worry about anything.
It was just magic. That's why, like I said,
Slim. It's like once he came on board, it was like done. We didn't.
I honestly don't remember how I met Slim, but I think it was one of the parties he came up as a hey, can I?
But I was living in San Diego at the time.
Yeah, I really don't remember, but
yeah,
I think that's how it went down.
Because all the DJs from whatever region, LA, San Diego, they knew the parties were around here.
It's all in OC.
It's all in OC.
And see, and they were attracted to that. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this is where my crowd is. I can place it.
This is the world here, yeah.
Yeah.
There were thousands of us. There were at least, I don't know, maybe 5,000 people that were like on that rotation. Because let's face it, the max that we can ever hold is like 1,500 per lobby. So I would say out of 1,500, there's maybe 5,000 to 7,000 that were really like in the circle. If you think about the numbers, right?
Yeah.
Like 7,000, 8,000 kids were really just going to that.
But they would look forward to it. If they could make it, they would.
It's a tiny number if you think about it.
But
A
tiny number as a whole. If you have 5,000 and you got 30% of the 5,000.
Yeah, that's what you.
It's a good number.
That's a holy fuck.
That's a good number.
That's a fucking huge number.
Yeah.
Dude, if you right now you get fucking 2% of anything, you're fucking winning. Yeah. And you guys had 30, 40%. And then when you did your specialty parties, that you hold a big hall, 1,500 people. Fuck, holy shit, 1,500 people now is huge.
Huge. Now it's huge.
They call those masses back then. Now masses are like 10, 20, 30, you know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
But think about club night. For most clubs only held 300 to 500. For you guys to do 1,500, holy shit. And let me tell you from a car guy's perspective, okay? When you guys looked in the parking lot.
We were never.
But all the cars that rolled up.
Okay? Yeah.
Everybody was fixing up the car.
Showing off,
clubbing.
Yeah.
Okay, you rolled up in your loud sound system, already pre-gaming. Everybody's bumping, right? It was a fucking scene.
It was fun. It was a good
time. You guys are inside, but remember, I'm the guy from the outside. I was a patron trying to get in. You know what I mean? But we knew where all the parties were because the customers come in, they're playing the CDs. I see flyers all over their fucking car. Every car that we worked on had fucking like four or five flyers.
Yeah.
In the fucking car, what's happening this weekend? I go, holy shit, then you would still see posters.
You know, one flyer that we did that I look back, I wish we kept it because it's wrong on so many levels. Do you know which flyer that was?
This one. Ex-girlfriend?
No. You know, you fop when. You remember that one?
I remember that. That was the back of a flyer.
It was the back of a flyer.
What would it say?
You know, you're a fop when. And there's like 20
different
items.
But that's cool. I could use that now.
But it's offensive, though, because where I come from today, that's like, you know, you just don't want to put people down like that. You know, it's not right.
True. But then I owned it. I mean, to me, I owned it back. I'm the original fob.
Yeah. Back then you could. But I was born here. So it was like for me,
well,
putting down my own people like that, it was just wrong, man.
But is it looking wrong back, or is it code? Code meaning, okay, remember the flyers used to say dress to impress, right? No T-shirts, no hats. A lot of flyers said that.
Right.
Okay, because you wanted a class.
Certain, yeah.
Yes. Okay. A lot of the fobs always came in the white button-up and black slacks.
I wore that.
Yeah.
And you wore that, too. We all wore thick slacks. Remember that? And some of us had suspenders on, man.
Because you know what? That was the GQ days. Remember? Everybody's now GQ.
It was just the weirdest fashion.
It was, because we were all in place. There was people that, you know, the styles started to morph. The slacks was always a thing. Come on, man.
I want to bring that back.
You really want to bring that back?
She can only sigh in my in
my.
No,
I used
special.
You're right though, because like even in my closet, I had maybe fucking 5 to 10 pairs.
Yes,
of slacks.
Me too.
You know, gabardine. Fucking.
But it was the way you danced to. You know, it was the way you danced that made it move a certain way. It was just weird.
It's a flow.
Yeah, yeah. Were you gonna say, son?
The thing about the flyer is, when you handing out flyers, you want them to keep.
Yeah.
It's a marketing tool.
It is.
So when you get 5 different flyers every night when you go to football town, when you go to a restaurant or a club, you don't want to keep them. So part of that, you know you're a fob. The guy's got to sit there and read.
Read it, yeah.
Whether he likes it or not, he's got to read it, whether he gets offensive or not. You know what I mean? So that was a marketing tool that they kept the flyer and they... We did 2 sets of flyers for that particular party.
Let me kind of be real with y'all, man. I know why you guys did that. Okay, because there was a school of thought back then. You know, you got your Can of Majestic and, you know, your Diamond Crown.
There you go.
Okay.
Say no more.
Okay.
But explain those
okay.
clubs.
You did not want them.
I don't know.
That means a different crowd.
It's a different crowd. Dude, but to say that we didn't want them, that's a little too extreme.
No, because you know why?
Money is money, right?
It is, but they fuck up the vibe.
But
I was part of the problem.
Were you an FOB at the time?
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude.
How old were you when you got here?
I got here in 2 years old in 75.
Oh, so you worked.
We worked. You can't.
Yeah, but
I came in 85.
I know, most of my friends were those guys, because I went to all the Majestic, Diamond, and I hated it. Because why? You can only just sit back like a barfly. Everybody's just posturing, staring. Yeah. They see, oh, I'm getting that. That's it. You know what I mean? Or their problem cause like
this.
Or you just like that girl. And I said, I'm going to go get my girl. You know, it's like, and then everybody just rolls up to him. You know what I mean? It's like, you couldn't even, there was a fucked up vibe, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's why the parties you guys threw, it was a whole different thing.
But I don't know if that was like.
You did do it on purpose, but there was a cool thought there.
I think for what Sun was saying it was a marketing technique for us for sure. There's 2 things going on. There's 2 things. I need to admit guilt first.
That's what I'm doing here.
Which is there was a distinction between the clubs you mentioned, like Can, Majestic, Ritz. That vibe was very different from the new vibe that was coming up.
Very gangster, very fob. Let's just call it fob. Okay, very hot. You guys hate to say it now because it's like me. I took offense to it when people say, "Oh, that's so Bolsa, that's so Fabi." Yes, I get where you're coming from, but did you identify with that? There was a certain category that was that.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to me real about it. You know, fuck, man. I still had people like trying to get in with slippers.
That was number one.
Okay, so
that was number one on the flyer.
But see, that's why majority. You look at if you collected all flyers, a lot of flyers says dress to impress. Okay, no shoes. I mean, no sneakers, no caps, right? No slippers. Come on, get the fuck out of here, dude. Dude, you have to tell people not to wear slippers to a club?
I mean, it was just all, it was a joke. It was all a joke, but it was
not
funny.
Not just a joke.
There was a lot.
But there was also a filter. Remember, back then, clubs, you're allowed to deny a person because they weren't dressed appropriately.
Or if they didn't fit the vibe.
Correct.
Or there's like 5 guys.
You
want to
call it discrimination, but that was law back then.
You were allowed to.
You lots of nah, dude. That dude, you know, you're way off, dude.
They won't even say it. You just
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they cut the line there. You know, right, dude? Come on, I've been in line where they bypass. And then you guys don't. You're like they ignore this. Then there'll be a fight.
The gangs were a huge problem back then.
Yeah, because try to deny them.
90s, the gangs were everywhere.
90s, gangs were everywhere. But how many times did we get shot up?
A lot.
These parties were shot.
But it's mostly outside. Never
inside. Yeah. Not even one time.
Not even one time, though.
It's always the parking lot.
It's always
the parking lot.
We had security. There was search. It's always in the parking lot. It's always a drive-by type of deal. But it was never.
But
inside.
Nobody ever got hurt.
No one got hurt.
There's fights.
The cops didn't pull up sometime because it was gone by the time they get there.
Yeah.
No, but gang fights was a problem in the 90s. Come on.
I think if there were no gang fights, we would have kept going. I would have kept going.
No, I don't think so. You know, I mean, to me, yeah. I did it to pay for college. I'm just going to be straight. I did it to pay for college. And by doing that, going out every Friday, Saturday night, it affected my grades. And what's the point of going, paying for college when you can't handle the grades?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I stopped. I stopped because of that.
Yeah, it could affect your grades. You see all the pretty girls shaking their ass, man. Just kidding.
But you know, Chris, it was the craziest thing is we all had our girlfriends and we didn't do, you know, we didn't shit and eat at the same place.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah,
smart enough to do that.
We did not do that. We each, all four of us had girlfriends at the time, and
I personally witnessed the style and how the girls got hotter and hotter and hotter.
It's fucking hot.
No, bro, let's talk about, you know. When we started in the early 90s, right? And then their fashion changed, you know what I mean? People started looking like Pamela Anderson, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's that rubber scene.
Yes.
That was that transition over to rubber. In Newport? Yeah.
Now it's okay, we're revealing shit. No, and that's where cosmetic surgery now is popping up. All the coffee shop had girls with big titties, fixing their eyes, fixing their nose. You know, their shit's fucking...
But it was OC, man. It was very OC, you know, everybody... kind of they were all kind of doing the same thing down there.
Well, and that's why other states mimic what OC did, because they come down to the party here,
yeah.
They go to the coffee shop, it's like, wow, look at these girls, look at these guys, look what they're driving, look what they were listening to, look what they're wearing, okay? And they exported back or imported back to their old state. And you know, for a period of time, you know, I'm not saying California was a shit, you know what I mean, or anything.
But no, it was the shit. California was the shit.
Yeah, but for the 90s, or like...
California in the 90s were the shit, dude. I would argue that.
For Little Saigon, this is where...
The action.
Everything spread out.
Yeah, here. From here.
You know what I mean?
Come on, man. You're Little Saigon. You gotta admit that.
That's
the shit.
That's why I'm celebrating it. That's why I see you guys here as something that should be spoken about. I'm glad we're here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because how important was it, what you guys did?
Well, we didn't know. I mean, truly for the money. I think we're truly...
Hey, whatever motivation it was, it's not like, you know, I'm in it for the culture. That wasn't even a word. We didn't think we had one.
I mean, swear to God. I mean, we were in our teens, late teens. I could have swore, like, one event, there was like $18,000 in cash that we're counting.
That was, because we had the connection, the military connection down in El Toro. Tom, he's an active Marine. So he booked us the location on the base.
Wow.
On the Marine base.
On the El Toro Marine base.
And holy shit, you guys got a fucking hanger?
The guy didn't know, the military guy didn't know what the hell was going on. They thought it was just an event, and they see like thousands of people pulling up. You know what I mean? That was our best money maker.
That night. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks to Tom, you know, being able to...
My brother was on that base that you know, at that time.
And that's why, like, I'm exploring who did this, who did that, right? Come on, I went to a lot of those parties. I didn't know who threw it. I didn't know. I never met you. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure we crossed paths and didn't know.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. You know, I've probably been to 90% of your events.
Even Dr. Bell, you know, a good friend of mine. He's, like, this, like, really successful, like, guy. And, you know, he's like, you guys did Trilogy? He keeps bugging me about the CDs, by the way. He's coming on Saturday, so we could...
I see. Slim said he's bringing some.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Slim is gonna bring some. Epic's gonna bring some. They're all there. I'm excited about this, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Me too. I know this is.
Are you?
Yeah. Yes.
I can't wait to go, dude.
Really? Yeah.
See that? No.
I told you before I even met Chris for the first time. I said, "Let's go."
Yeah.
Instagram. I didn't know who was.
No, bro, you know how exciting I am? Like, I've been wanting to do this for years, okay? I didn't have a platform to announce it, okay? But when we were running the club, I wanted to do this. But a lot of people are like, is it relevant? And I go, I don't know what it is, but it's nostalgic.
Right.
It's very time period correct. It's a time to celebrate that time period. Nobody's doing it, you know, because we do all these New Wave parties. I mean, I love New Wave.
Yeah.
We do it 3-4 times a year. But I like this era better.
No, yeah, because it was more of our era.
Yeah.
The New Wave era was like, we were 8-9 years old looking at older guys partying, 12 maybe, looking at the older people partying in their garage and stuff. But this is different. This was like our era. And we were driving.
Yes, we were driving because, I built a lot of, you know, imports. A lot of guys came to the shop, lowered their cars, got the system because they wanted to show up at these parties. Okay, they want to roll up in style.
That old Honda Accord, right?
Yeah, I never fixed it up though.
It was dropped and
none.
Scott's was.
Scott's was.
See, but that was the fucking starter packet. You know what I mean? You got a lower Honda Acura, whatever it is. You got a system. You got one of your CDs that your DJs are playing at. Okay, and that fueled the CD rage.
Yeah.
Okay, everything tied in. That fueled the CD rage. The CD now people want to get systems, and people was partying in the car. You know, then all of a sudden the rave scene hits. It's just a continuum of stuff.
I don't know how bad this background noise is gonna clean up, but
it's okay. It's gotta happen. You have that echo.
Yeah. I don't know how clear we're gonna come in on the mics.
But man, let me just tell you, man, it was very important for me to even sit here now knowing that I knew you, that because I was trying to figure this out. I didn't know who I'm gonna reach out to. Like, who knows these people, right? Who knows these guys that threw these party crews?
But there's only like four crews that did it.
Yeah, but who can you talk to?
To be honest,
really?
Yeah, a lot of people tried.
They did one party and they just fell.
You know,
and they didn't do a second. No, there were a lot of crews like.
Well, because you know why? A lot of them failed because they didn't take the proper steps. Because I knew back then, like, if you went to an event and there was a shooting, you don't go back to that event for a while. And then they'll do it again, you know, because they always had a cooling down period. Like anytime Odyssey threw one, and what first one, no issues. And all of a sudden it got popular. Everyone, the moms come showing up, and when everyone the mom shows up, that means you have a lot of different clashes of different people. Come on, gangs was a fucking big issue.
Man. Yeah, it was a huge issue, big problem.
Because I wouldn't even, tell you the truth, man. If right now, knowing what I know, and back then, I would never throw a club or own a bar. Because that's just fucking human babysitting at its worst.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And to deny these guys was even another problem. Telling this group of 20 guys, no, you guys can't come in.
You're dead.
You know what I mean? You got to come to your car eventually. No, that was a problem. That's why a lot of crews fizzled out. They didn't know how to handle the politics of that. Yeah. Or, like, a lot of guys used to go, hey, man, I really need you guys not to be here. You know what I mean? I've been told that. Like, I respect that guy. But just coming next week, you be my guest. You hear me?
Damn, I never had to make those hard calls. I think you did, right?
A lot of those guys were friends before they joined the game. So when we talk as,
homies.
Chris from high school, Chris from the neighborhood, not Chris from TNA or B or stuff like that. So when we ask them, hey, this is just my event.
Yeah, just chill out, man.
You know what I mean? Whatever happened, leave it at home. Not today. Just
chill out, man.
Calm, enjoy, have fun. Just don't do anything today.
Come on. Look at the term. When's the last time you heard this term? You're 86. You know what time I've been motherfucking been 86 now?
No, we didn't use that.
Anyway. But you heard that term, right?
No, I haven't.
86 means you're not coming in.
Yeah, you're coming in. 86 means they'll toss you out.
Yeah.
And 86.
Yeah, and some venues say, hey, you're 86 for over like a month, man. Yeah. They give you a time period to come back. Because they can't straight tell you never coming back.
Right.
Because they're going to get rid of a whole group of, they're going to have to get, half their fucking clientele is not going to be there.
My the security for the trilogy parties were all Marines. They were
the big white black
big,
guys.
White,
yeah, black they weren't Vietnamese.
They were all military police from San Diego that drove up to. They were my roommate was an MP.
See, but
he was the guy who brought them all up.
But back then, size didn't really matter because all the fucking Vietnamese would fucking pop their trunk. When they saw a big guy, oh, okay, that guy.
No, but not in the party zone.
But, not in the party.
The parties
always in the parking lot or leaving.
They were fighting in the parking lot, my guys, just two of them would like be able to catch like four of them. They're huge guys. They're big Marines, and they were fearless, man.
Yeah,
and they loved to fight.
Yeah, that's part of like we're like moth to light. Okay, people like love being attracted to chaos because everybody likes to watch a train wreck, right? Sometimes you're like, oh, the big party? Because you already know something's going to go down.
Oh, it was. Every one of them went down.
Yeah. Because some people are attracted to that. Yeah. That you know, they're like, oh, man, it's going to be, oh, yeah, everyone's going to be there. Some people are like, oh, I'm not going there. I didn't hear, I'm not going there. It's going to be, there's some people that did that, but majority of people, it's just going to be lit. And when they say lit, it's like, oh man, something's gonna pop off, right? But that's why everybody needed to get in. You don't want to be outside the line, dude. Yeah, yeah. The line always has problems. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Straight bullets.
Straight bullets. Catch a fucking fizz. Girl fights a lot. Dude, girls used to cause a lot of problems, bro.
Not in our... I felt like our parties were like the dudes, man. They were scary to me.
Well...
Especially the after you left the dudes, venue.
Dudes because of a girl.
It's always, always because of a girl.
Always, right? Yeah. But man, and that's why like this genre, it was a great, great time. Had a lot of problems, but we still did it. You guys did it for what? Five, 6 years?
Probably three, four years.
I think
98. The CDs lived on in your mind.
You know why? Because after those parties, now they started having like real raves.
Exactly.
And that's what took over.
I think real raves.
No, because I think somebody had the mindset, okay, look, there is a group of people who like to party like this. I don't care if it's L.A. They probably saw all the pockets. Hey, how can we get them all together?
I think that was going on before we started, though. EDC?
So EDC, the first ever EDC, it was called Electric Daisy Carnival. They didn't even abbreviate back then. We were designing our flyer at a print shop.
A big print shop in Buena Park.
In Buena Park. And the guy from EDC just sat right next to our table and designed. And their flyer for it, the hook.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Big. Threefold.
Yeah. It was crazy. You know what I mean? And they put out the money that we didn't have to print out flyers like that. And you can understand why they're still going on right now and why they're successful. They're straight up guys. You know what I mean? They're smart guys. They know what they're doing. But we sat right next to them on their first EDC
you know what?
Design.
Yeah, you might be right because about 98, 97, I was going to more raves.
Right.
Me too. Yeah, because, you know, there was bigger.
Well, it was fun to
do.
Yeah.
The irony is that when the rave scene came, there were less shooting.
Yeah, because you know why? Drugs. Ecstasy.
is it over?
No, keep going. Yeah, it's purely ecstasy. You know why? Okay, I'm gonna tell you what I thought was the funniest thing. Okay, when I went to Masterdome, half of it was Vietnamese. You remember Masterdome?
Yeah,
I saw tatted up dudes smoking,
out hugging, and each other,
out
rubbing each other,
fucking massaging each other, fucking Vicks. It was so disturbing. I wish I had a picture of fucking
big gangsters
with fucking pacifiers and their motherfucking mom and glow sticks chewing on it. Geeking out.
And that was the end of all the shootings.
Yeah.
But see, I've brought that up in the early days of my podcast. I theorized that. I was like, I think that the drugs were what caused the gangs to kind of go away.
It was.
Because once the molly started the ecstasy started to bring in into the environment, they were all hanging out at Rubber. You see all the gangsters hanging out like just big dudes, no shirt. And they were just like loving each other.
Exactly. So that is drugs, but ecstasy calmed everybody
down. And then something happened in the real estate business, the mortgage game. The mortgage game brought so much money
to the table.
And so they were like, they all went legit. And then they all
stopped. You know why they went legit? Instead of fighting each other, now they started working with each other.
And making money together.
Making money together.
And then that's why when we talk about this, how your party scene clicked it off, you know, people didn't want to go and just stare at each other, mad dog each other anymore. And they're like, you know, it started to fizzle out. You know, it tamed it down. Gangs were style. There's still going to be gangs. You know what I mean? But how serious is it now? Now they can talk to, you know, the drugs did it, dude.
Yeah, definitely.
No, people aren't on, they're not on fucking crack and meth and heroin anymore. Now they're just doing ecstasy. I'm not saying one's more or less than the other, but ecstasy did cure a fucking problem.
You missed those days.
I have to look back and say college, 90s, still the best time of my life.
Really?
I look back from right now, it's still the best time of my life.
Well, the kids right now the college kids right now between 18 and 30, they're having the best time of their life.
They are, man.
They are, and they don't know it. Yeah, they don't know how
good they have
it. But the same thing. They have their festivals. We had our days of rolling around, still meeting up with the people that want to party.
But it's so much safer now.
100%.
It's so much safer.
It's safer in the sense of getting shot?
Get shot at, going to jail. you know, experienced some real violence.
Yeah, real violence is gone, but there's still dangers out there, different type of dangers.
Real violence.
OD.
OD.
No.
Yeah. No, there's different dangers, you know what I mean? Different. But overall, the climate has toned down.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk in and be like,
yeah, nobody's looking who's around.
Yeah, I don't have to look over my shoulders. I have to be aware of my surroundings now. But I don't have to look over my shoulders like, hey, oh, they're here. Fuck.
But I'm glad. I'm glad.
I'm so glad, too.
I'm glad because my kids are going to go out into the world and they're going to have a great time.
And that's why, like, if we can continue these type of parties that happens, you know, now that, you know, all the bullshit's gone and we this kind of event could pop off and not pop off, it'd be great, you know.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
And then, you know, now they're all older. They're all parents now. But yet, they still have that nostalgic feeling about it. Like, oh man, I remember those days.
Yeah.
That's why people now they're building JDM cars because they've missed that. Okay.
Nostalgia, man.
It's pure nostalgia.
That's what toys are all about.
That's what toys are about. That's what collectibles about. That's
music.
Music. It's just.
That's what Paris by Night's about. It's all about nostalgia for what they went through in the 60s and 70s.
It invoked a census about us. Like, you know, like people tell you, like, what is old? You know what I mean? Look at Vietnamese are still partying in their fucking 60s and 70s.
70s, easily.
Okay? Sometimes you go to, like, you know, a fucking pool party. I'm like, dude's like 60, but he's still rocking it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? You can't take away that spirit. But then that's what EDC is about. That's when you go to, like, you know, fucking all these, like, house events, you know, in the desert. There's just a bunch of old hippies. Look, if Vietnamese could turn into old hippies and enjoy music and just fucking relax, bro, wouldn't you like to live out your days?
Well, look, man, I think this is a perfect way to conclude this podcast. I hope in the way that New Wave began its own new resuscitation, its revival, that you will get the Rolling 90s its own revival.
Well, I'm only doing it because of you guys, okay? You guys did something that you now, hopefully you know now how important it is. So how you want to end it, it's still going to fucking continue.
Yeah, we'll
it doesn't
party.
End.
We'll party this weekend. Thank you, Chris.
Because Little Saigon exists, and it exists in you, okay? My man.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.